I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock. I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Welcome to the Voice of Hope. So glad you've joined us for this time of Bible teaching and discovery. My name's Anthony High, Executive Director of Heralds of Hope, and in just a moment, I'll be joined by today's Bible teacher, Arlen Horst, as we wrap up our series on the Book of Ruth. If you're hearing this message on the second weekend of May in North America, you know that it's Mother's Day. And I want to give a heartfelt blessing to all the wonderful mothers out there. Whether you're raising young children right now or have been a steady presence over the years, thank you. Your faithfulness, love, and sacrifices often go unseen, but they matter deeply. On a personal note, I feel very fortunate to still have my mother in my life, and I've been richly blessed by my wife, who's been an incredible mother to our 6 children. And now, we're entering a new season. I'm preparing to become a grandpa for the first time. That's both humbling and exciting. These moments remind me just how quickly time passes and how faithful God has been through it all. I'm thankful that we set aside a day to honor those who've nurtured and shaped us. So take a moment today to thank God for your mother and to bless the mothers around you.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, it sends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
Even though this isn't exactly a Mother's Day message that we're giving here, it's very fitting to the occasion. As we close our study on the book of Ruth, we see how the birth of this child brought deep joy, not just to Boaz and Ruth, but to the generations that follow, me and you. That child has become part of the lineage that will one day usher a Savior into the world. And that's what makes the story of Ruth so powerful. It's short, but it echoes with eternal significance. So today, as we bring this series to a close, I invite you to open your Bible and join Arlen and I as we walk through this final chapter of Ruth. And I believe you'll find this message especially encouraging. This is our final episode of our series on Ruth. Up to this point, what stands out to you?
It's the takeaways that you already know, okay? God is always at work. And it's great to see that in this story. Another story we have showing us in the worst of times, God is accomplishing His purposes. So that's one takeaway. I also love how Ruth ties in with the bigger story of the Bible. I think that's cool. And we see that many places throughout Scripture, how it points back to Jesus. It's about Him. And in Ruth, that is done through the kinsman's redeemer. Boaz is the kinsman's redeemer in Ruth, pointing to our kinsman's redeemer. And I just love how it lines up in many small details that you don't realize when you just read the book of Ruth.
Okay.
You study into it and it opens up. I heard a pastor say one time that studying the Bible is like being an astronaut. The more you get into it, the more it expands, and the more you realize that is there. And I would say that definitely happened with me going into Ruth. Like, you think four chapters, how long can it take? But then once you open it up and dig into it, and you realize that there is a lot there, and it's very interesting.
You start asking questions like, what's up with this, and what's up with that? What's a kinsman redeemer? Why did she have to get married to him in order to settle the land?
And now we're coming to the end of Ruth, and I had more questions. How did this actually work? Why was it done this way? And what don't I understand yet?
Right. And all of Scripture is that way.
Right.
Like, exactly. You can open any part of the Bible and you have that same problem.
Yeah, it shows us that it's a living book.
Yeah.
Like, it's God's word and it's alive, and that's cool. It's good for us to dig into it.
Right. Well, that's great. I think that would be a good segue into what you have here today. So go ahead.
I want you to think about a situation that you're in, and it makes no sense. It was the perfect storm, and the events that led up to this situation were incredible. Problem is, they were incredible because of how bad things are now. And you look back and you think, how did that happen? What is going on? Now, in that situation, how do we explain it? What is our response to God through times like that? Because I believe each of us has a situation or been through a situation like that. Today, we're going to finish our series on Ruth. And this story has a happy ending. We don't know what happened the rest of their lives. We don't know where Ruth and Boaz ended up. But here, in the last 10 verses of chapter 4, the story is completed. And God puts his finishing touch in several ways. And we realize that the whole time God was orchestrating these relationships and working behind the scenes, and now it all comes together and it's obvious. And it makes sense. It reminded me of putting a puzzle together with my children. We'll be putting this puzzle together, and we'll come down to the end of the puzzle, getting closer, and it seems like there's some pieces missing.
I know what is going to happen. Like, there's one missing, right?
Or sure three. Enough, there's a couple missing usually in my household, because the children want to be they want to put the last piece in, because when you do that, the puzzle becomes clear and it makes sense.
So I've had somebody who actually stuck one in their pocket and waited to the end, and then pulled it out and put the last one in. Is that what your children do?
Well, my children do it with three pieces.
Okay.
Think about that as we finish up Ruth. The pieces all come together, and it makes sense, and it fits. I've broken the lesson down into three final touches of God, if you want to call it that. But before we get into that, I'd like us to think about the question of what do we do when our puzzle doesn't make sense? It feels like our puzzle is just a bunch of pieces dumped on the floor. People say, hindsight is 20/20. But it's not always that way. It's not always true. We don't always make it through a situation and look back and say, oh, yes, that was clear what God is up to. But what do we do when we don't see what God is up to? What is our response supposed to be? We'll look at God's finishing touches in Ruth and know that he is able. When life makes sense, and when it doesn't. I also want to use this lesson to reflect on the main characters in Ruth, like kind of one takeaway from each of them, and what we can learn as we close out the story. That brings us to chapter 4, verse 13 to 22. Go ahead and read that, Tony.
So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahashon. Nahashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David.
Okay, very good. Now let's go back through this passage and look at three final touches that God gave in this story of Ruth. The first one is right there at the beginning. We see that the Lord gave conception. He gave a child to Ruth and Boaz. This is incredible. And the way it's worded in verse 13, it makes me wonder if she knew about infertility, because she had been married for many years.
At least for a time.
Right, and she didn't have any children. But now there was a child on the way. The piece of the puzzle came together, and it was very positive. And this is the last we know about Ruth. She has a child. Obviously, her life didn't end then, but from what we know of Ruth, we know that she chose God and accepted his path. Along the way, she faced some major setbacks, some hard things. But she was committed to God. And that's a takeaway for us. We commit to God and accept the path he gives us. Here we have a storybook ending. It ends happily with Ruth having a baby. And so that's the first final touch of God. The second touch is God giving a redeemer. The ladies in the town realize that this story is incredible. They realize something special is going on.
And you can see that anytime a couple who hasn't had a child has one, and it's just amazing. Like, it's a special time for them.
And I think it also points to the whole idea of a kinsman's redeemer and what was all going on in the story that they all understood. And we have to take time to understand it. And so this child is here. They're reminded of God as they see this child. Like, God is at work here. And they point that out to Naomi.
So they're like, they see a promise that's coming true, not just, here's a child, and now the land doesn't disappear to some unnamed person, but we actually have a promise in the future. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, it's like they're seeing this story unfold, and they're impressed to be a part of it. They're impressed to be here. Like, it's a big moment. And they say that, like, Ruth is better than seven sons because of the story that's going on. So it gives a nice finishing touch from God, showing how the story is coming to completion. The thing I want to take away from Naomi here is her life is full. Remember back to chapter 1 at the end, her life was empty and she was bitter.
Yeah, she said, call me Mara.
And now she comes back and she has a child and her life is full.
Even though she didn't have the child, her daughter-in-law had the child, but it's right. Given to her.
She's holding this child, and the neighbor ladies say, may that be a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. Mm. You know, all the things that she was longing for before are here. And now Naomi is secure. A picture of security and rest.
Somebody will take care of her till she's in the grave.
Right. Her life had been so hard. She had been through so much, but God was very good. And may it be our goal to say the same.
Yeah.
The last finishing touch I would like to look at is mentioned twice, and it's how God gave a king. He gave a child, he gave a redeemer, and the third one here is he gave a king. It's mentioned in verse 17 and verse 22. So obviously, the author of Ruth wanted us to know that this story connects to David. And we're like, David? Well, what's the big idea?
He was a very special king.
Yeah. And I would say he was one of the most important men, if not the most important man in Israel's history. He was the greatest king. It was a big deal to know that this story connected to our great king. And this story took place in possibly the darkest time of Israel's history. And so we see God orchestrating and working through the dark times to bring Israel's greatest king on the scene.
Right, don't you see that throughout Scripture, where the dark times is really when God's greatest masterpiece is coming about? Like we talk about the dark period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There was lots of things happening, but at the end of that, was Jesus.
Jesus came.
Yeah, and there was no word from the Lord, and then Jesus came, the word.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of a theme that you see other places. In verses 18 to 22, the book ends with genealogy. Americans tend to be like, who cares? What's up with this? What do we need to know about ancestors? But not so with the Jewish culture. So here again, we're going to take a little time to try to understand their culture. And think about the land and owning land. Think about if you were a priest and who could be a priest. That all depended on your ancestry and who your grandfather was and who your great-great-grandfather was. And the Jewish people knew this. They knew their ancestors. It was huge. It was important. And so, of course, they care. And when you have these ancestors here all mentioned, it ties it into the bigger story of what God is doing. If we look back in Genesis, we see Perez's father was Judah, which was one of the sons of Abraham. That ties it into the bigger story of what God is up to.
Mm-hmm.
These names are also mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogies of Jesus.
Which is interesting because in that genealogy, it mentions several mothers. Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth are mentioned in there, and they're all very special mothers, very unique situations. Fascinating stories, which that's why we're looking at this one.
Right.
But they all are part of Jesus' story.
Mm-hmm.
Messy stories that point to Jesus.
Amen. Boaz is in the genealogy. Boaz is a main character in the book of Ruth. And I like how he points us to our kinsman's redeemer. You see, Boaz sacrificed his wealth. He bought the land, and the land was going to his child. In verse 17, the ladies say, a son has been born to Naomi. You're like, wait, what? She had nothing to do with this.
No. This is Boaz and Ruth's son.
But Boaz gave up his firstborn son. He knew this was going to be the case, and he was okay with it. This is Mahlon Jr.
Not Boaz Jr.
Right. In the way the laws of the land work, everybody knew Boaz was his dad, but the inheritance would say that this was Elimelech's grandson. And the neighbor ladies recognize it, but Boaz wasn't offended by that. He was fine with that.
That, if I'm understanding correctly, that was the intent from the beginning.
Right.
When he redeemed Ruth, he redeemed Naomi and everything that went with it.
Yes, he knew this was going to happen. That reminds us of the actions of another kinsman's redeemer, Jesus. He gave up his rights. He sacrificed in a huge way. And so we see these types and figures pointing to, I believe, our kinsman's redeemer. And that's a great takeaway from Boaz. That brings us to the end of the book of Ruth. It's the last of God's finishing touch in Ruth. And we know that he is able when life makes sense and when it doesn't. The God we serve is sovereign, supreme, over all circumstances. And we choose to worship him and praise him in what we're going through. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were having that conversation with the king before they were thrown into the furnace. And they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold image you have set up. So they didn't know the end of the story. We don't either. But they were committed to him. God could fix the pieces of my puzzle and make it clear to me. But if he doesn't, he is still God. And we should have the goal of worshiping him and lifting him up despite our circumstances.
Yeah, when things don't make sense, we worship God. I get that. But it's still hard.
Right.
Like, I don't want to in any way diminish the fact that it is hard going through those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Naomi wanted her name changed to bitter. And I'm just thinking about if someone is going through a hard time and hearing that, like, oh, just praise the Lord and it'll all be fine. Well, it is still hard.
We don't know that it's all going to be fine.
Right.
Either.
Well, I think of Jeremiah. At the end of his life, it wasn't fine. He ended up where he didn't want to be in a hard place and died there.
Mm-hmm.
He died in Egypt. He didn't even want to go along on that trip.
Right.
He wanted to stay where? In Israel. And so, you know, you look at some of those stories, it doesn't end that well. And I think Hebrews 11 talks about that. You know, they had faith, but they didn't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we go through those times that are difficult and are painful.
Absolutely.
And I like the way you pulled that together and brought an end to it, that, yeah, in those times, we're still called to praise the Lord. And at some point, he will use this for his glory. We may not see it.
Right. We trust that. In Exodus, Moses, I think it's Exodus 30, in the 30s there, Moses tells God that if you're not going to go with us, we don't want to go up from here. And that's the idea. We want to go with God. We don't always see it. It don't always make sense, but we're committed to him. Lastly, in the normal events of life, God is at work. Boaz, Ruth, Naomi, they had no idea in thousands of years people would still be talking about their story. What were they doing? I believe they were just being faithful to God where they were, with what they had. And we can do the same. Let's be like them. Let's be faithful to God in this moment, right where we're at with what we have, because he is able. And we can trust him and know that he is working.
Thank you, Arlen, for putting in the final puzzle piece from that closing chapter of Ruth. Where is God at work in your life? Is he calling you to be faithful right where you are? Earlier in the program, we talked about Mother's Day and the incredible blessing of the child that was born to Ruth and Boaz. Maybe today you're in a season of joy, or maybe a season of longing, or maybe you're suffering. Wherever you are, know this: God sees you and He is at work, even when the story seems uncertain. If today's program blessed you, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit us at heraldsofhope.org or give us a call at 866-960-0292. You can email us at hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at the Voice of Hope, 6183 Lincoln Highway, Harrisonville, Pennsylvania, 17228. Your feedback, your prayers, and your support are what helped this ministry reach hearts around the world. If you missed any part of the series on Ruth, or if you want to hear it again, you can find it on our website, YouTube, or by subscribing to our podcast, Guide Through the Bible, wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, our regular Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst, returns, and we pick up again on the Gospel of Mark. Until then, stay faithful, right where God has placed you, and remember, He's writing a bigger story than we can see. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you the next time on The Voice of Hope.
Workers on a building rare, building for eternity. Workers, let us use great care, building for eternity. Some are rich and some are poor, some are careless, some are sure. Workmen, will your toil endure, building for eternity. Some work on the shifting sand, building for eternity. But in storms a work can't stand, building for eternity. Some are beggars, poor like me, yet a workman true you see. Seeking heaven pure and free, building for eternity. Labor ere the night has come, building for eternity. Lest by darkness we're undone, building for eternity. Come and labor, halt or lame, every might in Jesus' name. Much or little, count the same, building for eternity.